It's time for Budweiser's From the Sidelines, presented by Northridgeville Convenient Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. And as we do each and every Thursday morning here on the WEOL Morning Show, we welcome in Fox 8's own John Telitz. John, how are we doing today?
We are doing great. Hope everybody is fine wherever they may be, Rocco.
Oh, I am doing just fantastic as well, John. Looking forward to the start of high school football this Friday, starting tomorrow. We'll get to that here towards the end of the interview, I'm sure. But wanted to start, of course, with our Cleveland Browns and maybe some takeaways from Saturday's win over the Jacksonville Jaguars, a 23-13 victory it was. No Baker Mayfield, but still plenty of excitement within the game. And just, JT, kind of, you know, your takeaways from that game and maybe some rookie evaluations in there as well.
Sure. Well, first of all, I think, you know, the operative word this year for the Browns is, and not to be, trying to make this a comical thing, but deep depth. I mean, they have so much depth on that roster. You saw most of the starters sitting yet on the defensive side of the ball, and I know it was Jacksonville. I know it was a rookie quarterback, albeit a highly touted one in Trevor Lawrence. But the second-line guys on the defense played very well. And certainly we saw Case Keenum have some success moving the ball. We saw Kyle Oletta. He also did. There's going to have to be some decisions, hoping to keep him on the practice squad because he showed some nice things as well. But getting to those rookies, I mean, you had several of the rookies that got extensive time played well. From the jump, you saw Greg Newsome. I think eventually Greg Newsome will be the starting corner on the other side of Denzel Ward, and I think he will beat out Greedy Williams. It's good to see Greedy back, and he had a hell of a year last year in terms of having to sit out and rehab and get that shoulder back, so kudos to him for being on the comeback trail. But very impressed with Newsome. He was matched up with a veteran receiver. Did get beat on that one play, but it was a very well-thrown ball. Phenomenal job of the receiver going up and getting it. And for the most part, I thought he played well. JOK, oh my gosh. Oof. Rocco, the speed this guy shows, and I don't think it's just the fact that he has speed, but it's the closing ability that he seems to have. And for a guy that was out for 10 days because of COVID, he played 47 defensive snaps, 15 special teams plays. He had 8 tackles, 3 for a loss, and he had a sack. He was just all over the field. So he gives them certainly many options as they go forward, depending on how guys are. Now, I know Mac Wilson dinged his shoulder, but he was back at practice on Tuesday when I was out there and saw him going through some stuff, so that's not a huge concern. But I was really impressed with Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. Let's call him Woo, let's call him JOK, whatever you call him. I think he is the ready package as a rookie, and it's almost like the Browns got a pair of first-round picks in JOK and Newsome. And then the real intriguing guy, too, is Demetric Felton. And the kid from UCLA, he's been working a lot with the receivers. He has so many options that he brings to the table. His ability to run the routes on the receiver tree is very impressive. His cutting ability, something to behold. And I was also on Tuesday saw him playing a lot at practice in Berea on the running back position. So there's so many options that they have with him. Then you had guys coming back like JoJo Natson. Great to see him, you know, because he had a significant knee injury a year ago. He came back. He had a great long return. It was called back, but you saw some of that burst. And so a lot of things to be very, very encouraged by as far as the young talent and all the depth that they have on both sides of the ball, obviously.
It goes Zips with Mr. JoJo Natson, right? The proud graduate of the University of Akron. So, fantastic. Yeah, and JOK, a quick aside on him, that's fantastic news for the Browns if he can do what they think he can, because when you're asked to, you know, cover Travis Kelce one week, now you got to stop Derrick Henry on the run the next week. I mean, that's a tough job for an NFL linebacker these days, and he's somebody that looks like he can kind of handle all aspects of it.
I agree. And, you know, also, you worry a bit because of his side. He's that tweener, 215 pounds or what he's listed as. And when you say, you know, some days you've got to go out on routes and try to stymie someone like a Travis Kelce, and no time like the first week of the season to get some experience doing that. And then you have the prospects of trying to slow down some really tough running backs, whether they're the Ravens guys, whether it's the new rookie running back for the Steelers, for the Bengals, and then some of the other guys that are on the schedule for the Browns. It will be interesting to see how JOK does, but I saw him shedding people and getting to the person with the football, and it was really impressive to see him. And then when you hear him speak and when you notice his leadership and his poise and his beyond his years kind of aura about him, that's something to like a lot as well.
Fox 8's John Telich, our guest here on Budweiser's From the Sidelines, presented by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. JT, another name you sent me in our segment rundown, Davion Davis, the receiver.
Yeah.
I've seen some of his highlights on Twitter, made some nice plays in that win over Jacksonville, and I feel like every training camp, right, there's that one, maybe two receivers who everyone's like, oh, wow, look at this guy. He's making the play. He's doing this. He's doing that.
Yeah.
you know, is he one of those guys? Is he a legit NFL player who, even if maybe he doesn't make Cleveland's roster, we see him elsewhere?
Well, you know, the cool thing about Davion Davis is here's a guy, you know, came out of a place that you just don't see a lot of NFL players coming out of, per se. Sam Houston State, undrafted, you know, spent some time with Minnesota, has been cut, has been, you know, waiting for opportunities, did tryouts earlier this year with not just the Browns but other teams and hoping, you know, to get some kind of love from a team. And if it were not Rocco for Derek Willis going on the retirement list, basically ending his football career, they may never have made the phone call to Davion Davis. Here's a little background on him. He spoke with the media a couple of days ago, and it was really cool because he was speaking of, first of all, he didn't get the game ball on the touchdown where he made that fantastic catch in the end zone going high to snag the ball. He never gathered in the football, so that's a shame in that regard. They have to find some way to do to get him that memento. But when he was at Sam Houston State, he made a ridiculous catch, a one-handed grab going high above a defender, and he did that against you know, one of the opponents that they see on a regular basis. And, you know, it made all the Sports Center, you know, top plays and all of that type of stuff. And that play was shown to the receiver's room kind of early on in Davion's short tenure here as a Cleveland Brown. So they were giving him love because of that. And so then on Saturday, he goes out and makes one of those types of catches. And there's a lot to like about this guy. He said that he is incredibly blessed and humbled just to be in the receiver's room with the likes of, and he mentioned Jarvis and Odell. He mentioned Hollywood Higgins. He mentioned Donovan Peoples-Jones. They have a phenomenal receivers room, and he's really excited to be a part of it. Now, there's no guarantee he makes the final 53, and there's no guarantee that he could even end up on the practice squad. It's very possible that Davion Davis could, you know, he's basically auditioning as we speak, and will have an opportunity to play for someone elsewhere in the league this year. But there's so much to like about this guy. And then, like, Tuesday in practice, the play of the day was Davion Davis, who he hauled in a deep ball, almost one-handed, diving for it, sidelines, good long toss of 40-plus yards. And he just continues to do those things that gets him noticed. And those are the stories when you, you know, when all is said and done, and when you, you know, you talk about what is, you know, what should you do with preseason, should – preseason as it is, should it be changed? These are the kinds of stories that come to light during the actual drills that they do, and then the preseason games that make you say, yes, they have to have this process because you can find guys like the Davion Davises of the world. So I love this guy's story. I'm really cheering hard for him. We'll see what happens.
Well, if there's one thing that America's a sucker for, it's a feel-good story. So we'll hope for the best here for Davion Davis as he continues to make his way through the preseason here in Cleveland. JT, quickly here, you know, when are we going to know who's starting against the Giants on Sunday? What's that situation going to be looking like?
Well, of course, there's 2 days of practice with the Giants, and when asked, Kevin Stefanski is kind of keeping things a little bit close to the vest as to how how they'll deploy things in these two practices, these joint practices with the Giants. And the good thing about the joint practices, and I think it's going to be universal around the National Football League as we go forward, is that you can kind of dictate those scenarios that you want to work on. You don't really get that opportunity. You hope for a two-minute drill kind of a situation in a preseason game, but it may not necessarily present itself. So in these scenarios, you can do that. So he was a little close to the vest when asked about how much involvement we would see from, like, Odell against his former team. Mm-hmm. But I think when they go through these 2 days of drills, depending on how guys perform and who's seen a lot of time, that will dictate, I think, who actually does start and how much they actually play in the game. I know they're going to be super conservative on all the guys that you know, and I know they have reason to be with some of their frontline guys who are still somewhat dinged up. But I think he's just reserving the right to say, let me and my staff, kind of digest all the information, things that went on, snaps, that type of stuff, in these 2 days of practices against the Giants, and then make determinations on who's really going to be busy or who's going to be, on the sideline not wearing a helmet.
Well, that approach seems par for the course from Stefanski, what we know about him so far, so no surprises there. All right, JT, I know normally we just stick to the Browns on this segment, but, hey, high school football kicks things off tomorrow. It is opening week. I know, obviously, with you at Fox 8, you're very in tune with what goes on in the high school football scene. JT, just very excited to have this back in Northeast Ohio, man. It's an exciting time.
It really is. Now, last year was great because I think it could have been a lot worse than what it ended up being.
For Rocco. Sure, for sure.
I know some schools were, they were impacted in some way, shape, or form by COVID. I felt so bad for the Cleveland City school teams, the Glenvilles of the world that didn't even have football. So there were a lot of schools that were very happy to have 6 regular season games and to then have an opportunity to be in the playoffs. Everybody got in the playoffs, so that was kind of cool. So the big difference this year, as you know, Rocco, is there's more teams involved in the playoffs per se. And I looked at some of these regions. You have, in essence, you could have all but maybe 4 or 5 teams in one particular region making the playoffs. So it's almost like basketball where everybody gets in.
Right.
So I'm really excited to see even week one. You've got games like, all right, Euclid's got a new coach. How are they going to fare? What happens with Euclid and Aurora? Hudson and Solon going up against each other. St. V and Wadsworth. How about Glenville taking on defending state champion Chardon at Painesville Riverside Stadium? And then, Benedictine and Walsh, kind of like the Holy War. And then out your way, Elyria Catholic and Elyria. Tons of great games.
Yeah, this weekend should be fantastic. This Friday, I should say, should be chock full of great games. You mentioned the one that we'll have here on WEOL on the radio and Stream 1. It'll be Elyria and Elyria Catholic. So a great Friday night slate of games, and it should be lining up to be a fantastic season of high school football. Like you said, JT, last year could have been a lot worse, but this year is shaping up to be a fantastic year all around. So very much looking forward to it. John, thank you so much for your time here today, and as always, I appreciate it. Looking forward to our conversation next week.
Sounds great, Rocco. You guys all have a great week. Talk to you then.